Got your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation. And go to chapter 13, book of Revelation, chapter 13. I'm sorry about the voice. I have been told that it's not my esophagus from having a tube down there, but because I have oxygen going in there all the time. So if I quit breathing, my throat would be better. I'm actually glad to be here tonight. If you had asked me yesterday, I would have said no way. I woke up yesterday morning. My blood sugar was low. My blood pressure since I've been on dialysis is running about 80 over 45. And that just does things to you. I think I had a bug of some sort, along with, well, I'll just say a diarrhea. And I got so weak, I went over to my office and sat down there for a little bit and decided to go back home. And I couldn't even get out of my chair. So appreciate some grandkids to come over and lifted me up and threw me in that thing and so forth. But as the day wore on, things got a little better. I think I actually got myself up once. Revelation chapter 13. Chad mentioned this morning the topic of the message tonight is the mark of the beast. So I'd like for us to, let's look at verse 11. Chapter 13, verse 11. Can you hear me all right? I can't hear you, but that's all right. Verse number 11 says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." By the way, the devil is referred to as a dragon, and we know also as a beast. "He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so they make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do at the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak, both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast and the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much that we can have your word. Lord, thank you that you share with us the future. You show us that victory is ours. And Lord, we're so thankful tonight that we can come to Scripture and find out that one day Satan, the beast, the dragon, will be destroyed forever. Bless them in these moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. No doubt you've heard many people talk about the mark of the beast. No doubt you've heard people talk about the number of the beast, 666. Matter of fact, you'll find that even on covers of secular magazines and pamphlets, there will be those symbols, 666. And so we've been somewhat inundated with that particular number. We look at a lot of Christians, and these days are having a problem understanding the mark of the beast, that mark of 666. When I first got saved, I was told that the mark of the beast was probably some kind of a tattoo in the forehead or on the hand. As time progressed and technology increased, I was told that there was probably a mark like unto, what do you call those little things?
Barcode.
What?
Barcode.
I didn't hear you.
Barcode.
All I hear is barcode.
A barcode.
A barcode. Thank you. It had left me. One of the first signs of old age is you can't remember everything. I've been old for a long time. And so I've heard people say, well, they put a barcode on the forehead or on the top of the hand. And so as you would go into a store of some sort or whatever, they would scan that and they could tell all about you. Or you could put it on your hand. The choice was yours. Well, I think about that, it's interesting, because it's with our minds, with our heads, we think. Amen? It's with our hands that we do. And so there's somewhat of a significance there, I believe. But anyway, I've heard that kind of story. I've heard people say, and it's very possible, some of you may own a pet that you have put a computer chip in. And with that computer chip, if your dog gets lost, they can, with a certain scanner, determine who the dog belongs to because there's some information about it, along with the address that he lives at. And so there's a lot of pet owners that have had that particular procedure done. And so what's a natural thing that people think? Well, perhaps you're going to put a computer chip in your forehead or in the top of your hand. And when you go in to buy or sell, you're going to have to show that computer chip or allow them to scan it so that they know that you perhaps have money in the bank, know you're not a crook or whatever it might be. And so we see these things through the ages. In the last 2 years, I've seen a little change in that. And what I've noticed is that when COVID came, and the vaccine came, there were many people who were promoting the idea that they were putting some kind of communication device into your body through the shot. But let's remember something. Where do you get shots at? When I was a little boy, they used the fleshliest part of my body, and it followed me everywhere. And as days have come and gone, there are many times they get that little flabby spot on the back of your arm. And they'll give you a shot there. I have never known anybody to get a shot in the forehead. I've really, though I've had IVs in the back of the hand, I've never received a shot of any kind in the back of my hand. And so as I think about this, and I look what it says in verse number 16, I come to a conclusion that that particular venue is not a problem as far as the Antichrist and the beast is concerned. We do notice that those who receive that mark, they have some privileges. And it says, really basically, if you don't have it, you can't buy or sell. Only those who have that particular mark. And that gives me rise to think of this. In recent months, we have had a number of people, including several politicians, many people in the private sector, a guy by the name of Don Lemon, who have promoted the idea that people who don't get the shot shouldn't be able to buy or sell. They shouldn't be able to go to the grocery store. They shouldn't be able to work a job. To me, I'm thinking to myself, so if I make a decision not to get that, he wants to starve me to death. They want me not to eat. They want my family to die. And with that, I have just a little bit of problem, don't you? But we find those things being promoted in our society today. And I want to say this to you. This mark does not come until the tribulation. If you're saved, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But we can understand some truth from it. And that is, as we look at the last 2 years, there has been a definite change in the climate of our world. One of the things we notice is that the entire world has been affected by this. It's not like in years gone past where it might be a locality, might be a nation, might be a few nations. As a matter of fact, many what we call third world nations, they would be absent from this privilege of a vaccine of any sort because they didn't have it. And yet we find that this thing is worldwide. That tells me something. In a matter of a few weeks, with the right content, the minds of people can be changed. They can be funneled that they're all thinking alike. I find that the avenue of that are people who are constantly talking to us, like so-called journalists, the media, if you please. And so we find that all of those things have brought people to a place of fear, and Christians to the spot that many of them believe that this particular shot will be the mark of the beast. I don't believe so for the reasons I stated. You don't get it in your forehead, you don't get it in your hand. And we find that as you go through the book of Revelation, chapter 13 is after the rapture, and you and I are gone. Thank the Lord for that. But yet we have this. Matter of fact, I look at this and this is an opinion. But I think right now something that shows me the mark of the beast is a face mask. I'm not against face masks. I use them all the time when I go to the bank. I get to draw out money that I don't have. I go to the doctors and they got on face masks. And I say, I know why you're wearing that. You're holding me up. But I think about it though for a moment. They've got the entire world believing that it will stop the spread. The entire world wears them, and it's still spreading. Isn't that amazing? And the more vaccinated people there are, it seems like the more of the other there is. But that's another story for another time. What I want us to notice, though, tonight is this, and think about. There's the mark of the beast. But the Apostle Paul said that he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that statement is especially true of the physical marks he bore. For we realize that the Apostle Paul had great persecution. On one occasion, he was stoned, and somehow God in his omnipotence raised him back up. And so he endured many, many different afflictions. And we can read of those throughout the epistles. But there's something else I'd like for you to notice. If you go back with me, the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. If I can get my fingers to turn to it. There's something marvelous about having no feeling in your hands. If you cut yourself, you don't feel it. I got a couple band-aids to prove that. But it makes it hard to turn your Bible. I can't even hardly button my shirt anymore. Oh, anyways. I'd like for you to go down with me to verse number... Well, let's start at verse 16. Since this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice the verse that follows. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now notice verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. The word manifest simply means it's made known. He says, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall inherit the kingdom, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I want to ask you something. When you look at that list of sin, is that something that the Lord Jesus Christ wants in your life? Or is that something the devil wants in your life? Which one? Which one is this? Is it that of Satan, or is it that of God? Now, we bear in our bodies the marks of the Lord Jesus. Some of these things go with us even after we're saved. And they show some things about us. But then he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. Excuse me, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so we find that there is a mark that we bear. I don't believe if you're saved, you're going to have the mark that's in your forehead or on your hand. But I do believe this. If you're saved, that mark on your forehead, though it's not visible, it is seen in your life. It is seen in this mindset that it speaks of in verse 22 and 23. If we're not walking with the Lord, and those things are in the previous verses, they are seen. And quite frankly, there's things you can do with that scene that you won't otherwise. May we really stop and think. Are we bearing in our body the mark of the beast? Do those things of hatred and variance, wrath and strife, is that the mark of Satan, or is that the mark of Christ? Interesting, amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank you that we can know you. We want to thank you that if we're saved, we don't have to worry about what is coming. Though we may see some things that are very similar, I pray that you would just bless and help us understand that the next great event to take place is the rapture, the going up, the seeing you. And Lord, that we might not only take confidence in that, but great comfort. I ask tonight you'll just work on our hearts. Use us in a world that is very confused, in a place that in many ways I think we're being set up for those latter days. Pray for your blessing as we go from here. Give us wisdom. Give us strength. And for that we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.